glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, October 25th, 2016, and we're picking up right where we left off as Pastor Jason Schiffo preached a message out of 1 Peter chapter 4, titled The End is Near. He delivered the message on Sunday at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. And yesterday on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, he began by explaining that the end is at hand and that we are to be self-controlled and sober-minded. And he began talking about loving one another. So that's where we'll pick up today as he shares that importance of loving one another, hospitality, and serving each other. Here's Pastor Jason Schiffo.
Peter goes on to tell us, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. If we really look for the return of Christ, friends, then we will think of others above all. That includes keeping this continuous, unbroken action. Above all, that's the importance. And then out of the importance, we have the action, the keep loving one another. Notice the place Peter places the use of our self-controlled and sober minds. He says, I want you to use your self-controlled and sober minds. I want you to use your prayers for what? For the means of loving others. Because listen, loving, God's love is by nature relational, isn't it? For God so loved the world. It didn't say God just loved one person. God loved the world. It's relational. God is wrapping his arms around the world as he sends Christ into the world that they might accept and they might love him. Warren Wiersbe says, love is the badge of a believer in this world. It's the badge we wear. Now, loving those, I just want to be honest. I mean, because we have to be honest here, right? We talk about loving others. It's easy to love those who we agree with and those who we're partial to. Everybody would agree with that? Now, you're like, man, I like those people. Those are easy to love. But loving the rest of the folks that we come in contact with is a much harder proposition. And this shouldn't be news to any of you. Everybody wants to love and be loved. Even if you are unlovable, you want to be loved. And so us as Christians, what we need to do to fulfill this command, we'll talk about it later in this passage, but we need to look beyond how people may frustrate us and how people may have wronged us at times. I was really convicted by a quote I saw this week that said this, it's so easy to forget what you need to remember and so easy to remember what you need to forget. So easy. And the Bible gives us clarity in John chapter 13 and 34 where it says, a new commandment I give to you, Jesus is giving to us. He says that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know, nowhere else in the New Testament do you get this word, a new commandment. Given in this fashion and in this way, a new commandment. That means that this is important when Jesus says this. And nowhere in any of John's writings does he directly refer to the love of Jesus for his disciples. He refers to Jesus showing his love to his disciples, but it's never a command about Jesus specifically loving his disciples. He never directly says, love each other the way Jesus loves his disciples. Love each other the way Jesus loved you. No, John always talks about the love of God, the love of the Father. When Jesus comes into the picture, the point is this. That God loved us in giving Jesus for us. The love of God in Jesus. And when it comes to the one that we need to model our love on, John doesn't say love like Jesus. He says love like God. Because God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. Jesus continually in the Gospels, it blows me away. He continually, when people come to him and they're like, are you the Christ? He's like, let me tell you about my dad. He continually is taking the spotlight off of him and putting it on God, giving us a picture of what it looks like when people come up and they give adoration to us. That we take it off and we say, no, it's about God. And it's only because of God that I can love you because you're really frustrating. That's just honesty. And this love that we have for people, friends, it is not that kind of sweet sentimental feeling. The love that we have for people, it's action. It is action. It means actively loving, doing what God Himself did in sending His Son. When God put on flesh to show us what love looks like, to show us what love feels like, to show us how to love one another. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis says this, "Don't waste your time asking whether you love your neighbor or not. Act as if you do. As soon as you do this, you'll find one of the greatest secrets," Lewis says. "When you are behaving as if you love them, you will come to love them." That's powerful to me. That there are people that I need to act as though I love them, even though it's really hard, because I need to come to understand that I love them. My question to you is, God has shown His great love to you. Who are you loving? Who in your circle of people are you loving? God has loved you, and He didn't give that to you as a stingy present that you would keep for yourselves. He gave that to you that you would share that love. So who are you loving? And the Bible says here, love one another what? Earnestly. Which is a picture of an athlete who is straining and stretching with eagerness and intensity to reach the goal. Likewise, loving one another is something we have to work at. We have to work at it earnestly. We have to put ourselves to it. Christian love means that we treat each other the way that God treats us, that we see each other the way that God sees us, not based on who they are, the good, the bad, the ugly, but on the basis of who He is. And it's in this that we can love those that we don't even like. And why is that so important? Well, the Bible's going to tell us something fascinating. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. It covers over a multitude of sins. Here, Peter, in a dramatic way, is quoting Psalm 10 in verse 12, which says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers over offenses." I have no commentary on this. I'm going to defer to Wayne Grudem, who says this, "Where love abounds, many small offenses and even larger ones are overlooked and forgotten. But where love is lacking, every word is viewed with suspicion. Every action is liable to misunderstanding, and conflicts abound, to Satan's perverse delight." We need to love one another. That doesn't mean we allow them to keep taking advantage of us. We need to understand boundaries and those kinds of things. But listen to me, if you are not loving them, you will be suspicious of actions. If you are not loving them, you'll be wondering why they're doing what they're doing. And those things will become something else. Dr. David Helm says, "Love takes the oxygen out of sin the way a blanket chokes the air from one caught on fire. Similarly, as long as oxygen is present, forest fires rage. But if we could take the air away, the blaze would settle down and great tracts of land would be saved." He says, may we love in this way. May nothing evil be allowed to breathe for long. May we keep short accounts, because the last day demands our earnest love. Peter goes on to say, then, as we love one another, we show hospitality to one another without grumbling. How many of you had people over to your house and you grumbled? I'll just be honest. It wasn't when you came over. It was somebody else. Have you ever had somebody come over to your house and before they came over, you're like, oh, gosh, they're coming over. Oh God. And then when they leave, you're like, God, that was so great. That was so amazing. You know, in biblical times, hospitality was really important because there were very few inns. You know, there were no holiday inns. And let me tell you what, if you did any research, the inns that were offered in the first century were no holiday. And so a traveler couldn't afford to stay in the inn even if there was an opening in the inn. You know, some of us say, well, you know, Mary and Joseph, they didn't stay at the inn because there was no room. And that's what the Bible does say. But I also want to tell you what, I don't know if they could have afforded to do it either. A traveler would have to head to the town center, and in hopes there they would be invited into a home by a kind and gracious resident. This kind of hospitality is a virtue that is commanded and commended throughout the scriptures. Moses includes it in the law in Exodus 22. Abraham was hospitable to the three strangers, and he discovered that he had entertained the Lord and two angels in Genesis 18. Jesus enjoyed hospitality when he was on earth, and so did the apostles in their ministry. And we as followers of Jesus in particular should be given to hospitality. 1 Timothy 3:2 and Titus 1:8 tells us that. Because our hospitality as Christians is a reflection of God's invitation and His hospitality. Luke 14:16 tells us this. And if we live out of this truth and we open our homes to God's people, we in fact with others share in Christ. You know, I always have to laugh when I have some non-believing friends. And they say to me, they'll say, you know, well, let's get together for lunch, but I don't want to hear about any of that Jesus. And I said, that's okay, but you know he's coming with. He's always there. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his friend. And therefore, he sits down with that guy. So he's always in the danger zone. I tell them, my atheist, I said, you might be better off not having lunch with me, but we kind of like each other. You're just on the other side of the fence, and I'm going to keep pushing. But listen to me. We invite people in. We begin to share Christ with them. And let me tell you what's an amazing thing that the Bible says. Is the Bible says you never know who you may be sharing your home with. Hebrews 13:2 says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Had people come in, and they've entertained them. You know, there was a story, a great story. How many of you have ever eaten at Pizza Ranch? There's a wonderful story about Pizza Ranch. There's a location in Morton and there's a location in Bloomington. It's a God story how Pizza Ranch came about. But when he was at the depths of bankruptcy and didn't even know how he was going to make the next day in terms of these Pizza Ranch restaurants, an old man came in. He said he was probably in his 70s. And the old man paid. Pizza Ranch, you pay up front and then it's kind of an all-you-can-eat experience. And so this man paid his money and he went down and he sat down and he watched him. The owner watched him. And the man ate one piece of chicken. Now, at an all-you-can-eat restaurant, you know that's a bad deal. You get one piece of chicken way cheaper somewhere else. This man eats this one piece of chicken, and he gets up after he eats the one piece of chicken, wipes his face off, folds his napkin on his plate, walks up to the counter, points his long bony finger at the owner, and he says, God says you will be okay. And he left, and they don't know who he is. He's never seen him again and doesn't know who he was. Some of us have entertained angels unaware. Some of us have entertained them. And I want you to understand something when I say this, that our hospitality as Christians should not be so that we can convert our unbelieving neighbors. Our hospitality should not be because we're going to win them to Christ by having them to dinner. We practice hospitality as the people of Christ because it's right. Because the Bible tells us to do so. We practice hospitality because we're God's people and we want to reflect what He did and what He does and who He is. We practice hospitality to shine the light and to love like God loves. We share God's goodness through our home because God has shown His goodness to us. We may open the door when they knock, but it's God's grace that overflows out of the thresholds of our imperfect homes. And I want to put in their imperfect homes because how many of us don't think our homes are good enough to have people over? How many of us think our home is never clean enough? It's too messy. It's too small. We don't have enough dishes. We don't have any of that stuff. How many of us have that? Look, I have 4 kids. Trust me. I love to have you all over, but you might die in the process. That's why Peter says, without grumbling, without grumbling. It was probably about a month ago, and we were singing as a congregation, and I was sitting up here. I think that was when the piano was still over here, and I still understood what planet I was on. So I had the right orientation. I'm really off kilter now with this new thing here. But I was sitting up here a number of weeks ago, and my mind began to wander. And I just thought in my mind, who in this room is going to be here next year? I mean, I already knew that some people were retiring and moving and that some people were graduating and kind of going away and some people had chosen to go another place and some and I just kind of sat in my mind and said, you know, what will this look like next year? I began to grumble. And as I thought, and I just closed my eyes and I just prayed, I felt God say, just give yourself to them and stop grumbling. Just give yourself to them and stop grumbling. Just show the love of Christ and stop grumbling. You know, who knows, in this room or in the rooms in your home, you may share life with somebody who you may only see for a short period of time, but part of their testimony will be when I was in the sprawling metropolis known as Mahomet, that I was shown the love of Christ by somebody. That they invited me into their home and they gave their very best and they loved me like I'd never been loved before because everybody desires to love and to be loved. And so just give yourself to them and love them earnestly. And then Peter says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. You see, our love must result in service. Our love must result in serving one another. And every single one of you in this room, I don't care who you are, but every single one of you has at least one spiritual gift that you can use to the glory of God, that we might use it to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church, to build up our community. Not everybody in this room is going to be a pastor, is going to be a teacher, going to be a preacher, but praise God, you don't have to be. But you can all be witnesses of Christ with your varied gifts, the varied graces that God has given you in your life, the varied ways that He has used you. God's given each of us gifts. And the Bible says to use them no matter the size of the gift. There is no small servants and no big servants. There are just those who serve. No gift is too small and no servant is too insignificant. You know, it reminded me of when I was a younger boy, younger man, I guess I would say, about 3 decades ago. Do you guys ever remember when Ronald Reagan went into the hospital? He was in the hospital for 3 weeks. Anybody remember that? He went in the hospital for 3 weeks. For 3 weeks, the most powerful man in the entire world was incapacitated. For 3 weeks, he was unable to make a decision. He was unable to do anything. And let me ask you, in those 3 weeks, did our country fall apart? Did it stop working? Was it like when mama gets sick and she goes up to the bedroom and the whole house blows up? It was okay. But listen to this, about 3 years after that it happened, in Philadelphia, the trash collectors protested and they stopped working. And the city almost shut down. In fact, the newspaper said that if the trash workers did not go back to work, Philadelphia was going to have to stop working. It was going to shut down. And let me ask you this question. Who now is more important? The president or the trash collector? The president went away for 3 weeks and everything was okay. Trash collectors stopped working for a few days and everything fell apart. Who's more important? That's why I want to have Congregation Appreciation Month, where you guys just appreciate one another and I appreciate you, which I do so much. Because listen, I'm not up here. I'm down here and we're all together. And we're all doing that because no job, big or smaller, just different functions. Everything to the glory of God. And that makes a difference in how we serve in the last days. Last verse here as we tie up. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Kent Hughes said this in one of his books. I think it was a biography and it really touched me. It said, there are times when I'm preaching that I have especially sensed the pleasure of God. I usually become aware of it through an unnatural silence. The ever-present coughing ceases. The pews stop creaking, bringing an almost physical quiet to the sanctuary, through which my words seem to sail like arrows. He said, I experience a heightened sense of eloquence, so that the cadence and volume of my voice, the intensity of truth that I am preaching is clear. There is nothing, he says, quite like it. The Holy Spirit filling one's sails, the sense of His pleasure, and the awareness that something is happening among one's hearers. The experience is, of course, not unique, because thousands of preachers and lay people have experienced similar and greater experiences unto themselves. See, when the Bible here says the oracles of God, it's saying that every single one of us come in the strength of God to speak the words of God. And that we need to be mindful of that at the end of the day, that we are engaged in something that is entirely beyond us. When you are in ministry for God, and that is in any situation, whether loving people or showing hospitality, when you are being used by the Holy Spirit, you are in something that is entirely over your head, and yet God strengthens you to do it. You're in over your head. And so when you feel like this, you know, I heard recently that some folks in our congregation were going to go serve and they were feeling like, you know, can I do this? Can I do this? And I just had to smile and I said, you seem like you're in over your head. And this person said to me, I feel that way. And I said, then God will strengthen you. Because God strengthens us when we feel this way. And when we serve one another, when we love one another, we do it in the strength that God supplies. Can the worship team come up as we get ready to close? You know, recently I read a devotional story about a church in Strasbourg, Germany. I think I have a picture of it here, yes. Church in Strasbourg, Germany that was destroyed during World War II. And amongst the ruins, there was but one item left standing. It was a statue of Jesus Christ in the midst of this church that had been bombed out. And the statue of Jesus had Jesus' arms reaching out. And the sculpted image of our Lord was not unscathed, though. His hands were missing. The hands of the sculpture were missing, severed during the bombing, severed during the wreckage. And as the church was rebuilt, the sculptor who had done the original sculpture, he came to the congregation and he said, "I will offer to attach new hands back to the sculpture to restore it to what it should be." But the congregation opted not to. Instead, they put a plaque beneath the statue that reads this, "For Christ has no hands but ours." You see, He has no hands but yours. He has no feet but yours. He has no mouth but yours. The end is at hand. It's imminent. It's unknown. It's soon. And we are the expression of Jesus Christ in the world. We are those who are self-controlled and sober-minded. We are those who love earnestly, who serve sacrificially, who are caught up in the power of the Holy Spirit to serve one another. Friends, I told you in the beginning how I blindly took that tire and just threw it in the trunk. And I want to implore you today not to throw Jesus Christ into the trunk and save Him for some other day. Say, "I'll get to Him later." Because listen to me, where God is glorified, the world is notified. The world is notified that the hands and the feet and the mouth of Jesus has come and that He is speaking. And we'll speak in that strength. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have come. And that every day since that day where You rose from the grave is the last days. Father, that sometime soon You will come. And it doesn't matter when, but what matters is that You say, "Surely I am coming soon." And Father, in the midst of waiting for that great day, we pray that You would give us the strength, that we would love and that we would serve, that we would be sober-minded, that we would be earnest in what we do, that we would open our homes, no matter how imperfect they may be. And that we would show people a picture of the fact that it's not about being perfect, but it's about what God does. And so, Father, help us as we battle our imperfections. Help us as we battle what we think ought to be. And help us to remember what we know to be. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name.
All right, everyone, let's work on being self-controlled and loving one another, showing hospitality, and serving each other in a variety of ways. The end is near, but thank You, God, that we have the Lord Jesus Christ to walk through life with. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.